Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
We're going to be talking about prayer here this morning. Story goes, there were two guys in church that were talking about prayer. One guy says to the other guy, he goes, "You don't really know what you're talking about. You don't know that much about prayer." He said, "I'll bet you $10 you don't even know the Lord's Prayer." And he goes, "I'll take you up on that bet. I'll take your $10. He goes, "Okay, well, let's hear it. Quote the Lord's Prayer." And he goes, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." The other guy just starts dying laughing, reaches in his pocket, hands him $10, said, "I didn't think you knew it." Look at there, you do know it. I think probably a lot of us would assume, I got it, man. I understand this thing. I do it. I pray over my sandwich before I eat it, so I'm good. Or I pray, you know, once a night right before I go to bed. And so me and God, we're good. And I would just encourage you, there's more. There's more to the presence. There's more of getting a hold of Jesus. There is more to this God-man than just saying, "Take care of me while I sleep," or "Can you just bless the chicken before I eat it?" There's more to engaging who this person of Christ is. Jesus is talking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, and he tells them this. They say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And he says, whenever you pray, in chapter 6 and verse 7, he says, don't pray like the rest of the heathens who just do these repetitious prayers. They have like this holy writ that's just kind of laid out. Don't pray like that. I don't want that. That prayer doesn't move me, where we just pray in repetitions or recitations or belabor some prayer. He goes, that's not how we do this thing. Isn't that interesting? I'm not calling out any specific people or group that does that. I'm just saying Jesus is saying maybe there's more to it than just that. It's not just a rebuke, but it's also an invitation for more. Saying that there might be more to this relationship of engaging and talking to your Father and knowing what it is that I want to have encounters with you. Perhaps it's sectioning off time in your day where you say there's no other distractions. The phone is off. I'm not on the internet. I'm not checking anything. I come unplugged from all of this and just lock in to Jesus. Maybe it's times whenever you're just in on your way, and as you're walking through your everyday life, you're in the car and you just focus in. God, as I'm driving to this meeting, Holy Spirit, come upon me right now. Holy Spirit, I pray for an anointing as I walk out of my prayer room into this boardroom. Holy Spirit, come upon me and turn me into another man. God, I pray that as I'm walking into this time with my family, Jesus, I pray that I would be the number one life giver in this place. Come upon me, Holy Spirit. And it's just constantly checking your life into Jesus and saying, Jesus, I want to be so tuned into who you are that you would anoint me, that you would fill my heart, and out of the overflow of my heart, my mouth would speak to you. It's just living in the presence. And so maybe you're saying, man, I just don't have time any other time to just spend a couple hours in prayer. Then do it part of your daily life. But to make it a discipline that we actually would bring Jesus into our life. And to do it with some urgency and some energy about it. I have a golden retriever dog. Wrigley is our dog. This is our family dog. Here's a picture of Wrigley. He's just pumped, right? Just look at him. He's just loving life, that tongue. I mean, he will trip on it. He's so excited about life. And so Wrigley, he has got this DNA of joy. I mean, he is amped all the time. And you can look at it. He's definitely the happiest person to be in this picture. The rest of us, we kind of forced it. And Wrigley's like, "You guys want to be with me? And I'm the center of it all? Yeah, I'm down for it." Whenever I walk into the house, Wrigley is amped. It starts from his brain, but it moves through his entire body, and his booty just starts shaking. He finds me in the morning. It's like he just knows, hey, it's morning. You probably want to get up and spend some time with me. And so he will put his head through our door and come into our bedroom. And, you know, my arm's laying here and his nose is up here. I'm like, hey, good morning, Wrigley. And he is just pumped and he's amped. And you know what he does? Whenever I get out of bed, he just sits at his master's feet. I just want to be with my master. Every morning, I just want to be with him. I want to be with him because he's good and he'll be good to me. And he'll rub my head and he'll scratch my ears and he'll rub my belly. He's going to be with me. He's going to engage with me. He's going to serve me. He's going to throw the ball. He's going to do something. But I know I'm going to have some engagement with my master. Wrigley has so much stinking joy. His body is almost too small for the amount of energy he has. His body's like, I can't even handle how much energy I have. Ah! He's pumped. He's the happiest person in our home. I wish I could say that that's like an indictment on our joy level, but it's inspiring. I want to be like my dog. I want to wake up with energy to sit at my master's feet. I just want to be with him. Every morning I'm aching, I'm desiring. I can't handle it until I get a hold of him. And I will get in his way. I will sit in front of you right here. Now I'm going to sit in front of you right here. I'm going to find you in the bathroom. You have no privacy. I'm finding you. And God says, you will find me when you seek after me with all of your heart. With every ounce of your being, if you come after me like that, you will find me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. They will be filled. Come on. There's a hunger. There's an energy. There's a get up and go that he is looking for. Not a casual approach to the presence. Not a disinterest. Not a, well, the presence is something that I do on Sundays at 10:30. From 10:30 to about 10:45, I'll give them a grace minute, but they better wrap this thing up by 10:46. No, you missed it. Allow a golden retriever to disciple you this morning with a hunger and a thirst after him. That's when you'll be full. You ever just wonder, it's like, man, I'm just not full. Where's God? There must be something wrong with God. Because he won't fill me up, and I'm not fired up, and where's the energy, and where's this overcoming sense of love and compassion and passion for him? And it's almost like, you know, if you'll bring it, he'll bring it. It's like he says this in the scriptures, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. It's like this cause and effect. And I just believe that he wants to see praise and worship from his people, and then he inhabits the praises of his people. It's almost like he's just like, come, is there a Wrigley in the house that wants this thing? Because Wrigley will get attention. He just will. There's an energy and a pursuit. It's almost like the poor widow woman that continues to knock on the door of the unjust judge. I will not stop until you answer me. Do y'all remember this situation? And she just continues to knock all night long until finally he gets annoyed with her and he gets up and says, what is it that you want? She said, well, I want justice over the situation. Fine, we'll make it right. Can you just go away? You bombard heaven with callous knuckles. You continue to knock. I'm knocking. I'm seeking. I'm asking. And I refuse to be denied until something shifts with hunger and thirst. I pursue you. King David said it this way. King David said it's like a deer that pants for the water. So my soul will long after you, O God, my Redeemer. And God, I'm just asking for a fresh thirst. Would you just salt my palate? And make me crave you. Force a thirst and a hunger that I would want to pursue you. God, put a longing inside of my spirit, man, that I would desire to be with you. And not a disinterest, I'll come back to it later. Or hope to catch you next week. God, me and you will check in on Sundays. But there is a longing to live at the Master's feet, to be in His presence, and I can't contain it until I get a hold of Him. I refuse to be denied. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to push through any other thing that's going to keep me until I lay a hold of this man. There is an energy and a movement that gets God's attention. First Chronicles, it says, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro throughout the earth, seeking a heart that's fully committed to Him. And then He will show Himself strong on their behalf. I need God to show up in my life. I want Him to show up in my marriage. I need Him to show up with my kids. I need Him to show up in my job. I need to show up in my personal health. I need to show up in my spiritual, mental, physical health in my life. God, I need you. It's like, I want to show up. I'm looking for a heart that's fully committed, that's all in. I want to see it. Trust me, I'm ready to move. I'm ready to come. But I want to see that tail waggle, that wriggly wiggle to pursue who I am. He wants it. I sat my kids down the other night. We had a pretty big coming to Jesus moment. And I said, guys, do you know who gives me the most honor in this home? And they're all just like looking at me. And Wrigley's laying over on the side, laying there, and he's just like. Wrigley, he gives me the most honor in this home. I tell him to come, he comes. I tell him to sit, he sits. I tell him to finish, he finishes. I tell him to shake, he shakes. I tell him to do, he's just like, I'll do whatever my master tells me. And I will sit and I will gaze at you. Because you're my best friend. You're like my only friend. And I just love you. And I'm locked in on you. And he will do whatever his master tells him. Crazy amount of honor lives in his spirit. And he just wants to get after his master. It's unbelievable. In James chapter 5, he says this. He says, there is a fervent, effectual, burning, white-hot prayer that availeth much. Or could I say it this way? There's a fervency. There is an effectual prayer that moves the needle in the heart of God. He's talking about an energy level. He's talking about a passion movement. He's talking about something that's within you that provokes the master to act, that gets him out of bed in the morning to do some justice on behalf of the widow. That says, that turns Jesus, he's like, who is touching me? Now, Jesus, everybody just said a prayer at 10:30 on Sunday morning. No. Somebody else said a prayer that stole my attention, that moved me in such a way. There was something different. Your faith has made you well. Something is going on inside of you that moved me in a different way. This word, the fervent, effectual, it comes from this Greek word. It's called energeo. This word energeo is like a cousin word in the English language to our word energy. It too means to energize, like energy prayer. Something where there's like, I'm bringing my best. I'm bringing my A game. I'm going to be provoked in this thing. In the Amplified version of the Bible, it says this on this James passage. Go to the next one here. Blame. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its workings. I just wonder if perhaps we have not, because we ask not, and when we do ask, we ask amiss. Meaning that we're not properly coming before Him and specifically lasered in, targeted with some energy and some zest going for it. Like, unless you show up, God, this thing is not working. This marriage is not going to happen unless you intervene. It's got to be a supernatural thing. And so I push and I press and I pursue until I lay a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. Forgetting everything else, I consider all other things rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Savior. I push in and I press and I pursue until I get a hold of His presence. There needs to be some energy, right? There needs to be, like, we need to throw some fresh coals on the fire of our heart that would move the train of our lives forward in a driving fashion into His presence. The problem is that we're Americans and we're blessed. And honestly, I don't need God to show up in a supernatural way because I'm pretty smart. I'm pretty slick. I figured it out. I don't have too many needs. I've been able to be a good professional. And I've been able to make money, provide for my bills. I've been able to be nice to people, so I have good relationships. I really don't need God. I can do it by myself. And when the heart is postured like that, just don't be surprised if God will resist the proud. Yet He will give grace to the humble of heart who's desperately longing for Him. This passage in Matthew chapter 6 is kind of leaning into that. And it says, God is not impressed with those who pontificate with all of these great fancy words. But I'll tell you, God can move in powerful ways of a man who may not be educated or super slick or professional, but who's just raw and desperate for Him. And God's like, oh, I like this. Because in your weakness, I will be strong. And it's just coming before Him, posturing in such a way that moves the heart of God. Any parents in here, you know whenever your kid has postured in front of you, and you're like, oh, shoot, I want to resist everything about that. And you know whenever they are broken, and they posture in a totally different way. Oh, do you want to give grace? And you want to show up for them? It really does come down to how we posture in the presence and how we pursue through the power of prayer. In the 1800s, there was a revivalist by the name of William Booth. And he started the Salvation Army. And at 35 years old, he has this mega push of revival that takes place. And he said this about prayer. The late British Methodist minister, William Booth, in 1865, he said, "You must pray with your might. That does not mean saying your prayers or sitting gazing about in church or chapel with eyes wide open while someone else says the prayers for you. It means fervent, effectual, untiring wrestling with God. It means that grappling with omnipotence, that clinging to Him, following Him about day and night as the widow did to the unjust judge, with agonizing pleadings and arguings and entreatments until the answers come and the end is gained. This kind of prayer, be sure, the devil and the world and your own unbelieving nature will oppose. They will pour water on this flame. They will ply you with suggestions and difficulties. They will ask you how you can expect that the plans and the purposes and the feelings of God can be altered by your prayers. They will talk about impossibilities and they will predict failures. But if you mean to succeed, you must shut your ears and eyes to all but what God has said and hold Him to His word. And you cannot do this in any sleepy mood. You cannot be prevailing unless you wrestle as Jacob wrestled, regardless of time, aught else, save obtaining the blessing sought. That is, you must pray with all your might." There is an energy that the Bible speaks to that church family we got to grow into. There is an energy that the Bible talks about. This is how you should pray. That we as a church need to grow into. We need to obey Scripture and come into His presence and pray like this. If I would ask all of you before this sermon, probably would be better. Do you guys think we ought to obey all of the Scriptures? Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay, what about these that say, come after Him with energio and fervent, white-hot, effectual prayer? That is what will move the heart of God. Should we obey that Scripture? Should we pant like deer looking for water? Should we salivate in His presence? Easy, bro. Let's just tear that page out of the Bible, and then we'll do the other stuff. Chris, you love it when I say that. We don't have the luxury to pick off the menu of Scripture and say, I'll do this one, but no thanks. I don't want to eat my vegetables. I don't want to do the hard stuff. Church family, I'm just asking, can we just go maybe one step further? Can we just maybe do a little bit different than what you've seen? Maybe just one step farther into the presence? And parents, I want to make an appeal to you. Teach your kids how to pray. If they could have any skill in all of life, perhaps it would know how to navigate the presence of God. These are deep waters. And man, they can do it, and they can get in there, and they can go for it. Taylor University, I want to encourage you. Spend 4 years as a tithe for your next 40. God, I will give you 4 years of seeking your face and living in the presence and rallying all my friends and doing whatever I can as a tithe to you for the next 40 years of my life, that you would then bless. How about that? How about teens? How about from 13 to 19, saying, God, for these 7 years, I will live in your presence and I will seek you and only you, where I will hate sin and I will love righteousness. And I will pursue you. And if I give these 7 years as a tithe, you'll bless the next 70. There's just an appeal for more. Come on. That there would be a desire for more. John Wesley, who started the movement of the Methodists and the Westland movement, was raised by a mama, Susanna. She raised 10 kids, 2 being John Wesley and Charles Wesley. Raising John, who was one of the biggest revivalists that we have known, and Susanna would be raising these 10 kids, homeschooling him, making them meals and dinners. Charles Wesley, who's written over 9,000 hymns, many of which we still sing today. That whenever it just got so chaotic, she would lift up her apron over her head, and this was her prayer room. And the kids would come up, Mom, Mom, I need this. And they all knew, when the apron goes over her head, no one messes with Mama. I gotta get Jesus, people. I need some Jesus right now. Don't talk to me. Don't come around me. I am engaging the presence of the Lord. And trust me, I'll be a much better mama when I walk out of my prayer room. I'll be really, really good to you. But you give me a minute here, okay? And so the apron goes over her head, and she locks into the presence. You might think, well, I don't have this prayer room in my home. Then, throw a shirt over your head. Put a towel over your head. Jump in your car. Walk on the woods. Get in your bathroom. Get somewhere where you can get a hold of Jesus. Any place can be a sanctuary. Every place can be holy before the Lord. And we see the result of a praying mama on the effects of her children. The Bible would talk about the effectual prayer matters to God. It moves Him. and he shows himself strong on their behalf. I want to encourage this church family that we would be a praying church. Would you be here this Saturday? Please come. Please come. Let's be a praying church that salivates for the presence. Let's go after the presence of Jesus. That we would know him. That we would engage him. We'd be hungry for him. Some of y'all know that hunger is like a good sign that you're alive. It's a signal that you're alive on the planet. And that we would hunger for him. John Piper says it this way. He says, it's not that we have eaten so much in the presence of the Lord that now we're full. He says, it's actually the flip side, is the reason we don't have a hunger is because we've eaten so much at the table of the world that we no longer have a desire for the great. We've been filled with cotton candy, we no longer have a craving for steak. And when we belly up to the table of the world and all of its fancies, we severely miss out on what God would have. Martin Luther, he said this. He said that we need to be in the world but not having the world in us. He said it's like a ship that is on the water. And the ship is, it's on the ocean, but you don't want the ocean to get into the ship. And when the church too much has the world inside of the ship, it will sink. And we have filled our lives with things that don't matter and wonder why they're sinking. And we've taken on water. We need to be in the world, but not have the world in us and pursue God. He said this, he said, I have so much to do that I have to spend 3 hours in prayer. Enough. You might say, I don't have time. Where am I going to find time? And Martin Luther would say, I have so much to do, I can't afford not to. I can afford not to pray. I have so many classes, and I got this test, and I got this, I got all this stuff. I can't afford, you can't afford not to get into the presence of Jesus because you need his power to back you to get this stuff done. Just recently, Joe Psalms was talking about at Life Group, a holy desperation for God. Just to move, guys, I think that there's a conversation that's happening. Coach Small has been talking about this desperation for God. There's a movement that's happening in the church for a hunger for God. Henry Varley, who was a revivalist, he said this. He was a British revivalist, and he was talking to a younger pastor who eventually became a revivalist in his day. He goes, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man who is fully consecrated to him. And D.L. Moody said, I will be that man. I will be that man. That's who I'm going to be. The world has yet to see what God can do through someone who will be all in on him. And who will say, I cannot wait to get into the presence. I can't wait to be with you. I'm bringing my energy. I'm pressing. I'm pushing. I'm pursuing until I lay a hold of the presence. He says, that's the kind of man I will be. And I want to say, this is the kind of church we will be. I'm declaring it today. Fairmount Friends, this is who we are. We are a church of fervent, effectual prayer. We are a church that brings energy. We are a church that moves the needle in the heart of God by how we pursue. We are a church that God will look to and fro throughout the earth. He will see us in Tiny Town, USA, in Fairmount, Indiana. And he will say, I see you, and I'm going to show myself strong on your behalf. Church family, here's the call this morning. As perhaps you're saying, I'm moved. I want more. I need more. I need to go for this thing. And here's what I want to do is I just want to open up the altar. And you, by taking a step forward, even just coming up here and just saying, Jesus, I'm going to present myself saying I want more. I want to pursue you. I want to go after you this school year like I never have before. I will be that man. Church family, if that is you, I'm just asking you and inviting you to come on down with me. I'm going to stand down here and saying, Jesus, I want more. If anybody else is is feeling that same thing, we're just going to come down here as an act of faith and just stand in the presence of Jesus and just saying, God, I want more. I need more, Jesus. God, I want to push and pursue until I get a hold of you. And so we're going. We're pressing. And just present yourself before the Lord right now. Jesus, we want more. God, I must get a hold of you. Bring your marriage before him. Bring your children before him. Bring your health before him this morning. Bring your own heart saying, Jesus, I want this. I want a hunger. I want a thirst like I never have before. I will be this man. I will be this woman. In Jesus' name, God, do a work.
And I'm desperate for you, Lord. And I'm lost without you. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Desperate for you.
Father, I pray that you would move this desperation in our hearts. God, do a work in every home that is represented here. God, I pray that your presence would invade our kitchens, our living rooms, our bedrooms, our car. God, that we would be enamored, that we would be inebriated in the presence, that you would overcome us, that you would arrest our hearts, Jesus, that you would do a work in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. And church family, what we're going to do right now is just, we're just going to have a time where we can worship as well as just a time where you can be dismissed. And so there's just a general dismissal. You are free to go, but the altar is open. And if you just want to hang and just spend a little bit more time, and if there's anybody that also just wants some prayer, we got some people up here that will pray for you. Just come up here and just, man, God, move in my heart and do a work in my life. And we'll just do some ministry just for a few minutes up here. But we bless you. You're good. You're good to go. And anybody else that just wants to keep worshiping and praying, we're going to have the altar open for a few more minutes. Amen. Feel free. If you're ready to go, you can go. If you want to stay, you can stay.
Stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists, is to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all our praises still falls shy, we'll sing again 100 billion times. Ooh. You, as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 8 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.